This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. With all the talk about the deadliness of the Ebola virus, for which there is no vaccine, we tend to downplay or ignore the yearly virus that can kill hundreds of thousands worldwide each year. Influenza spreads around the world in seasonal epidemics, resulting in about 3 to 5 million yearly cases of severe illness and about 250,000 to 500,000 yearly deaths, rising to the millions in some pandemic years. And yet, we do have a vaccine that can protect and prevent the worst symptoms of the flu. But there remain many myths and misinformation about the need for vaccination. We'll hear with more on this is Dr. Yana Shaw. She's Associate Professor of Pediatrics, specializing in pediatric immunology and infectious diseases at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Shaw.
Hello, Linda. Thank you for having me.
So influenza, or the flu, it can kill, but start out by telling us what exactly is the flu.
The flu or influenza, it is a contagious respiratory illness. It's a seasonal illness, as you indicated. It does come around every winter. It usually comes around October, and it can run its course as late as May. But the course of the illness and its start varies year by year.
So it's a virus, correct? It's not a bacterial infection.
Correct. It's a viral infection. Hence, antibiotics are rarely useful for that type of infection.
And what are the kinds of symptoms generally with the flu? I mean, I think most people know this, but help us just review it for us.
In general, flu causes symptoms that can, in the beginning, look like cold.
But like they're much regular rhinovirus
cold. Correct, but they are a lot more severe, and they come usually much more suddenly. So people will have congestion, stuffy nose, sore throat and fever, headaches and body aches. And in children, particularly with the H1N1 flu, we have seen a lot of vomiting and diarrhea. Mm-hmm. So it is severe illness. People typically get very ill, especially if they were not vaccinated, and it comes quite suddenly.
So how is it transmitted?
It is contagious. It is transmitted by droplets.
Sneeze,
cough, even talking to a person who is infected with influenza can transmit the infection to the person that's standing nearby.
So again, in contrast to something like Ebola, which has been in the news so much, this is really airborne, and it can be airborne in the sense that droplets from your nasal mucosa or whatever can actually infect someone else if they land on an open area on their body.
That's correct. So influenza is a droplet transmitted. Ebola can be transmitted by droplets as well, although in general it's believed Ebola, or what we know, you do not transmit the infection unless you have symptoms. Unlike influenza, influenza can be transmitted from people who are infected and do not have symptoms yet, and then continue to transmit the infection as they develop symptoms and become ill. So that's an
important distinction.
It is very important for people to recognize that they may be around people who appear to be healthy and they do not have symptoms, but they are already infected and they are able to transmit the virus to them.
So the point here is that's all the more reason why people really do need to get protection from a vaccination. So what are the current recommendations right now for who needs to be vaccinated?
Currently, CDC recommends universal vaccination, which means all people, including children 6 months and older, should get vaccinated against flu. It is our best prevention for influenza. It's the safest prevention, and it's effective prevention for influenza.
So that includes people really of advanced age as well.
Correct.
The elderly, and people who are perhaps immunosuppressed as well?
So there are some exceptions. CDC has highlighted people who may not be a candidate for influenza vaccine, and I would recommend that people who do have maybe immunocompromising conditions, that they discuss their need for influenza vaccine with their doctor, with their provider.
There's been some talk about it also if you are allergic to eggs. Is that something to do with the way the vaccine is created?
Correct, yes. So there are influenza vaccine, most of them are are made in eggs. Hence, they do contain a small amount of egg protein that can be problematic for people with severe egg allergy. The egg allergy, however, is not a contraindication or not a reason not to get vaccinated if you don't have life-threatening reaction to eggs.
So how effective is the flu vaccine? What does it actually do for you? I mean, does it prevent flu 100%? I tend to think that's not the case. What is exactly the fact?
Correct. It does not prevent flu 100%, but what the vaccine is very good at doing, it protects you from severe influenza. It will protect you from hospitalization. It will protect you from dying from influenza. You may still get a flu, but you will not get as sick from it, which is really the most important thing that the vaccine does for you. It protects you from the serious flu that can kill or make you very ill.
Well, there are a lot of myths and misunderstandings. For example, how often does someone require a flu vaccination? I mean, for some types of illnesses, we get a one-time vaccine, and that kind of gives us lifelong immunity. But that's not true for the flu. Tell
Correct.
Us about that.
Yes, so flu virus is a tricky virus. It changes its appearance constantly. It changes the way it appears to our immune system. Hence, we need to get vaccinated every year because the virus looks different and we lose immunity.
And the vaccine is changed every year, attempting to encompass the potential strains that are coming forward.
Correct. So in the beginning of the year, WHO advises CDC what vaccines and manufacturers, what vaccines or what antigens should be contained in the flu vaccine based on the circulating strains and the changes that were detected in the influenza viruses.
Do you think if you've never gotten the flu in your lifetime, you still should be vaccinated? I mean, is there still a strong recommendation that even though you may never have experienced the flu?
Absolutely, because you don't know when you're going to be the next one who's going to get the flu. And I would like to remind listeners that flu is not only serious illness, it's common illness. Every year we lose over 100 children just to flu. They die of influenza. And we have number of, thousands and thousands, millions of people die of influenza, even healthy people. For example, last year we had a large proportion of people who died of influenza were the young people.
And that's really something people don't really get. They don't understand or see that that's possible. I think it's become such a common part of our terminology, the flu, that it's not seen in quite this level of seriousness that it really should be.
I agree. You know, usually people think of flu, oh, I don't have this illness, I don't have diabetes, I don't have asthma, I don't need to worry about it. But the data shows that, unfortunately, even healthy people get very ill.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with pediatric infectious disease specialist Dr. Yana Shaw, and we're talking about the importance of getting your flu shot. So what will this year's flu shot protect against?
So this year's flu shots, there are a variety of flu vaccines. There are trivalent and quadrivalent vaccines, meaning they contain three or four different antigens. They are attenuated viruses, vaccines, and inactivated vaccines. So there is a variety of choices, and the provider will be best suited to advise each patient or parent which vaccine they should choose.
And it will include the H1N1 flu strain as well this year. It's part of the whole package.
It does include the H1N1. That's correct.
So let's help to debunk or deal with some of these myths. Can you get sick? Can you get the flu from getting the flu shot?
You cannot get a flu from the flu shot. The vaccine contains either inactivated virus or weakened virus, so the virus cannot actually become alive and infect you. What the vaccine does, it mobilizes, it activates your immune system, and that alone may feel like you're getting sick, but it's actually the body's natural response to the vaccination that promotes the healthy immunity that you develop after vaccination.
So it basically readies your body. It says, okay, guys, wake up in there. Let's get ready so that if any flu virus comes into our little world here, we're ready. We're ready to mount a real resistance.
That's it. That's the response that you actually want from the vaccine. You want that feeling, those symptoms, similar to exercise. When we run and we work really hard, our muscles ache. That doesn't mean we did anything wrong. It means our body is getting ready and is gaining the endurance and strength that it needs.
You know, but what's so interesting, and I've been reading this not just with regard to flu, there is resistance among people more and more these days, or certainly in the last decade. There's resistance to vaccinations. There's resistance to vaccinations, children's standard, regimen of vaccines. And I guess I'd like you to comment on that. Why do you think at this point people are still resisting getting vaccinated?
Yes, we have seen a lot of actually vaccination hesitancy and resistance. And over the years, there has been an increase in parents who refuse vaccination for their own children. And even with influenza, 40% of adults are vaccinated each year, which is very low number for a vaccine that's extremely safe and effective. The reasons why parents refuse vaccines for their children are numerous. Most of them fear vaccine safety. They worry that vaccines can cause serious illnesses, which has not been proven and has been disputed on numerous occasions. They feel that their children do not need vaccines because they might be as well infected naturally, like wild viruses, which again is a myth because those viruses are very serious and can result in debilitating conditions.
I read somewhere, which I think is a fascinating point, that this generation of parents with young children have not lived through polio or lived through disease, plagues, basically, mm-hmm. that have affected so many, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people taking lives in a way where they can really experience firsthand what it's like not to have protection.
Yes.
So there's a fear and almost a suspicion surrounding the vaccine. But with the effect that we talk more about this, what happens when people choose not to vaccinate? How does it affect the general public?
We lose herd immunity.
Explain what that means.
Herd immunity means that if enough people are vaccinated in the community, they will offer protection for people who cannot get vaccinated. For example, young children cannot
below six months,
for example, for flu or for pertussis, less than 2 months, they cannot get vaccinated. And those are children who are particularly vulnerable to serious pertussis, influenza. There are immunocompromised people in our communities, parents, young children who have cancers and cannot receive vaccinations, or the vaccines would not work because their immune system is compromised. So those people rely on us being vaccinated and protected.
So by keeping the herd, so to speak, like thinking of humans as a herd,
yes.
We're keeping our resistance higher, mm-hmm. prevents the spread, the large-scale spread of these disease entities, and the people who are less able to protect themselves are protected by that herd immunity.
That's correct. And we have seen these breaks in herd immunity in recent outbreaks of measles and pertussis. Measles, particularly this year, we have seen the highest numbers of cases since 2000. So we really need to get vaccinated to protect not only ourselves, but everybody else around us.
That's a very important message. I hope that we'll get that message out. Sometimes I think education is the best way to get it out, but something has to change people's mindsets. Let's hope we made a dent here. My guest has been Dr. Yana Shah. She's Associate Professor of Pediatrics, specializing in pediatric immunology and infectious diseases at Upstate Medical University and Upstate's Golisano Children's Hospital. Once again, thanks so much for coming in. Get your flu shot. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.